This recording, Connecticut 4, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Karma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onaroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot-and-mouth disease, which was surprising, because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Karma, Karma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Karma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her. But Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Karma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for the cure. So I was born, raised, and grew up in Hartford, Connecticut. My mother was from Hartford, Connecticut. My father was from Springfield, Massachusetts, but he moved here when he was 35 and lived here till almost 89. I went to all through school here. I graduated Weaver High School, and I went to dental hygiene school for 2 years in Boston. I came home to Hartford, went to work, got married, stayed here. My mother's family had been here a long time. My grandfather, her father, was the first independent milkman in Hartford. And her brother, one of her brothers, worked with him. They used to go to the farm, get the milk, bring it back to their backyard where they had a shed, bigger than a shed, but plant. And they'd pasteurize it, put it in bottles, and then he'd go out and deliver it. I actually was in elective public office for 18 years. I did 8 years on my school board, the Bloomfield Board of Education, and 10 years in the Connecticut General Assembly, where you ran for re-election every 2 years. I was the co-chair of the Education Committee for 4 years. I was the deputy majority leader for 2 years. I was on, in addition to the legislative committees, I just happened to be there at the right time. So I was on a number of national boards. I was at one point the chair in 1991 of the Women's Network of the National Conference of State Legislatures. So there were 1,500 elected women reps in the United States. We developed policy papers for model legislation in states. We did leadership training. We tried to move the male-dominated organizational structure of NCSL toward more human services kinds of issues. It was an exciting time.